Would you kindly take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 10? Mark chapter 10. How thankful I am as we read through the Gospels that we always see the Lord Jesus Christ ministering to people in need, people like you and me. And what I said a moment ago, I trust that we will really take to heart. The Lord Jesus is ready and willing to hear our prayers. Amen?
Amen?
It's not just the great things, dear people. He does want to hear those, but he also wants to hear those things that others might consider small, or we might consider small in our life. If it concerns us, may I share with you, it concerns him, and how thankful I am that that is true. As you look in the Gospels, you see that men, women, and children, all ages, all cultures, all social backgrounds, were people that the Lord Jesus touched. There wasn't anyone that he wouldn't touch if they would have an open heart towards him. He especially touched those who were deemed unclean, unworthy, the forgotten people, the least, the last, the lost. What if he wouldn't have touched you and me? Where would we be today if Christ would not have touched us? Tonight, as we look into God's Word, we're going to see the Lord ministering to two men who were physically blind. But as we look into the account of what the Lord Jesus does in touching them, we're going to see that even though they were physically blind, they had spiritual sight. And sadly, those that were all around them who had physical sight were spiritually blind. And as that day ended, out of all of the people that were around Jesus, there were only two who had been broken, who were now made whole. And it was those two men that were blind. So look with me, please. Mark chapter 10. I'm beginning to read from verse 46. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. We'll stop there for right now, but get to the rest of the chapter as we move along in our message. As we read this passage of Scripture, we see two types of people. First, those who seemingly have everything. They have their health, and they are able to walk, so they are doing pretty good. But then we see these two men who have been reduced to rubble, to have been reduced to almost absolutely nothing. You say, "Well, Raj, as you read this passage, and as I looked in my Bible, I only saw one man." Well, that's true. You see, this account of Jesus touching the blind men, is actually found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew tells us of the two men, while Mark and Luke tell us of the one man, Bartimaeus. And we believe Mark and Luke do that because Bartimaeus probably was the one that was the most vocal. And so they recount what happens to him, not neglecting that what happened to him also happened to the other man as well. As we look into the gospel accounts, we see that the Lord Jesus was always on the move. For 3.5 years, his ministry was full. He touched the lives of so many people. But even though he oftentimes slept outside, even though he did not have the comforts of everyday living, the Lord Jesus never grew tired of ministering to people in need. And may I say once again to you and me tonight that Sometimes you and I may think, well, I've gone to the Lord Jesus about a need, and he probably is getting very tired of hearing from me. My friend, he isn't. And so I would just encourage all of us tonight, do not grow weary in coming to Jesus, because here's the secret. Jesus never grows weary of us coming to him. He delights in hearing from his own. I also want us to understand that as the Lord meets up with Bartimaeus and his companion, this was absolutely no accident. You've heard me say this before. There are absolutely no encounters that are of accident nature to the Lord Jesus. You know, we have our day planners and our BlackBerry phones to help us plan our everyday lives and to make sure that we make our appointments. Well, 2,000 years ago, they didn't have day planners and BlackBerry phones. But may I share with you that the Lord Jesus had his own spiritual day planner. He knew who he was going to meet, where he was going to meet them, and when he was going to meet them. And he has never missed an appointment. Never. Never missed an appointment. And he certainly will not miss an appointment with any one of us. Therefore, as Jesus never misses an appointment, as we look at this man, Bartimaeus, and his companion, and their need, this was a divine appointment between them and Jesus. Now, I want you to think with me. When you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, it was not an accident, was it? Shake your heads, no. It was not an accident. It was by God's appointment. May I share with you that just as he made this divine appointment with these men, he made a divine appointment with you. And you and I have the privilege every day of meeting with him for a divine appointment. How wonderful is that? In the way of a historical note, let me share with us about Jericho. We read in the Old Testament about as the children of Israel came into the promised land, they met up with many people that were against God, many people that were far bigger and stronger than themselves. And Joshua led the people to that great walled city, Jericho. And God told them to march around the city for how many days? 7 days. And on the seventh day, what were they to do? They were to blow the trumpets and shout. And what happened to the walls? They came crumbling down. Now, do you believe that? I most certainly do. God said it. I believe it. That's good enough for me. That's what a song says. Yes, God said it. I believe it. That's good enough for me. So this Old Testament town of Jericho is still laid waste. But just south of it is the new city, the new town of Jericho, which was built by Herod the Great. It was the Las Vegas of his day. It was a great place where people could come and enjoy themselves. It was an attractive place. And so people would come and journey. But because there were so many thousands of people coming to this new city of Jericho, guess what it brought with them? Beggars. And the beggars were out there on the road, hoping that all of these people who came to have fun would see them, would take pity on them, and help them. Well, since most occupations in that day required physical strength, anybody who had a crippling disease or a handicap was at a great disadvantage. And the majority of them, especially the men, had to resort to being a beggar to make any kind of a living, if you can call it that. And so here we have this city of Jericho filled with people who are having a great time, who are enjoying good health, and who are not minding anybody else's business but their own, to the point of not being concerned for others. And into this area comes Jesus. Now, Jesus is not blind to these dear people, but he certainly is open to these two men that call out to him. Now, it's interesting, we understand as we study God's word that if people were sick back then, if you had leprosy, if you were lame, if you were blind, then it was because of some sin in your life. And so they felt that these men had a curse of God upon them. And that if God cursed them, then we should have absolutely nothing to do with them. So they just let these men alone. Now, God's word does not tell us, as Jesus and the disciples and the crowd left the city of Jericho, what they were talking about, or if they were even talking to Jesus. But isn't it interesting that as they were leaving this city of Jericho, they were looking at these men, ignoring them. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us what these men said to Jesus. Matthew says in 20, verse 30, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And in Mark 10, 47 and Luke 18, 38, Bartimaeus, for his companion, said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, why did these men call Jesus Son of David? Well, according to the Old Testament in 2 Samuel 7, 11 through 14, this was a designation of the Messiah who was to come. So here we have these two blind men, forgotten, of no consequence to anybody because God's curse is upon them. They have lost their physical eyesight, but because of what they heard, they have spiritual eyesight, and they call out to Jesus, "Please, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." Secondly, they not only knew who Jesus was, but they had a need that they knew that nobody else could help them with. No mere men could touch them. Never had anyone been healed of leprosy until Jesus. Never had anyone been raised from the dead until Jesus. Nobody had ever received sight or hearing until Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody. Faith in these men's hearts led them to call out to Jesus for healing. And praise God, he did not disappoint them. Well, as we've read, verse 48 tells us that the crowd was irritated with Bartimaeus and his companion. And what did they tell them to do? What's your Bible say? "Be quiet. Shut up. He doesn't want anything to do with you. You're cursed of God. You're beggars." Really? He doesn't want anything to do with them? You know, this is interesting to us as well as sad. The crowd was healthy, but they couldn't be bothered with these two sin, to their thinking, cursed men. They weren't worth a cent to them. Sadly, as we look at the normal person in Israel at that time, their attitudes reflected that of the Jewish religious leaders. And it's sad. Would you keep your hand here and turn to Matthew 9, please? Keep your hand in Mark 10 and turn to Matthew 9. We have many occasions, and this is one of the most descriptive occasions we have, of these men speaking about those who were the least, the last, and the lost, not being worth their time. But notice how they're worth the time of Jesus. It's Matthew 10. And I'm reading from verse 9. "As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth." Okay, how much value does a tax collector have to the normal man on the street? None. In fact, they wish he probably was what? Dead. But not until he gave them back what he owed them. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, notice please, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, and he quotes from Hosea 6:6, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the what? The sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but who? Sinners. He's come to call sinners. As the Lord Jesus went into Jericho and is leaving Jericho, and the crowd is following him, and he sees Bartimaeus and his companion, the Lord Jesus knows everything about them. He knows all about their life, just as he knows all about ours. He's not offended by them. He doesn't feel that if he touches them, that he will become dirty, that he will become defiled, that he would not be a good Jew. No, the Lord Jesus always sought out those who were in need. But you know, as I thought about this, the crowd walking by and seeing these men who were in need. By the way, in Leviticus, we are told that when people were seen to have a problem like this, that the everyday population were to minister to their need. That was God's law. If you see somebody in need, out of love for God, minister to them. But the crowd just went by. It's so easy for us, though, to point the finger at these dear people in Mark 10 without looking at the mirror at ourselves. And as I've shared with you for the last 11 years, by the way, did you realize, actually, last month was our 11th anniversary for Worship and Witness. God's given us 11 years on Sunday nights. So praise the Lord. How thankful we are for that. Yes, we can praise him. As I preach to you, I have to look into my own heart. Otherwise, I do this rather than this. I've noticed in my own life that if I am not careful, I can just go on with a focus on myself and be totally ignorant of the needs of others. God doesn't want me, he doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to have the needs of others before our eyes, before our hearts. Well, people say, well, what do we need to do then? How do we look at the needs of others? I find as I look at the gospel accounts in particular that I need to have an adjustment to my eyes. You see, as I go through this life of mine and as you go through your daily life, we need to go to the spiritual optician of heaven. And when we go to the spiritual optician of heaven, we will look at others through the eyes of Jesus. We will look at others through the eyes of Jesus. Look again, verse 49, Mark 10. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi," what did he say? "I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." When I studied this passage of Scripture, I thought it was interesting that Mark concluded in verse 50 that this blind man threw his cloak aside so nothing would interfere with him coming to Jesus. You talk about somebody who really knew he had a need and knew that there was only one person that could help him, and that was Jesus. He didn't want anything in his way to prevent him from going to Jesus. As I thought about that, I thought about all of the roadblocks that oftentimes come to you and me when we come to the Lord in prayer. We get all tripped up by everything else rather than putting them aside and coming to the Lord Jesus just as we are. Think with me, please. If others did not know the misery of blindness, this man and his companion did. If others did not think it worthwhile to make such a trouble in order to obtain relief, he did. Can you imagine going through your life blind? What a horrible thing. Nor did he not care about the rebukes of the unfeeling bystanders when they told him, be quiet. He didn't want to hear you. What does your Bible say? He shouted all the more. Now what happened to him as he continued to call out to Jesus? Verse 49 tells us that the Lord Jesus heard his cry and invited him to come to him. And then as this dear blind man and his companion stand before the Lord Jesus, as we read in verse 51, the Lord Jesus asked him, friend, what do you want me to do for you? The man said, Rabbi, which means my teacher, I want to see. Do not our hearts go out to him? Can we not identify with this dear man's need? He is blind. Now, do me a favor. Cover your eyes. What do you see? Nothing. What color is in front of your eyes? Darkness. What if you had gone through your life in absolute darkness, not seeing the beauty of your family, not seeing the beauty of God's nature, not knowing where you would walk? No wonder the man said, Lord, I want to see. I want to see. You know, there are millions around the world who are hurting. They're considered unwanted, unworthy by others. These unwanted, unworthy ones even wonder if God cares for them. They really do. Does God care for me? I don't think he does. May I read three questions for us? Isn't it amazing that until Jesus called Bartimaeus and his friend to him, that no one saw their need and brought them to Jesus? That is an important question. No one saw their need and brought them to Jesus. If these in the crowd believed Jesus to be who he claims to be, the Son of God and their Messiah, could he not heal these two men's eyes? Nobody brought them to Jesus. Secondly, and this hits me right in the heart, is this not an indictment against the church today that we seemingly don't care if people are dying and going to hell? Whoa. Is this not an indictment against the church, against Roger Hozier today, that we seemingly don't care if people are dying and going to hell? You and I have people that we come into contact with on a regular basis. When I'm at the gym pumping iron, I see people of all different persuasions. I have a lot of neat friends there. I have people there that by God's grace I'm building a bridge to share the Lord with. But on Wednesday mornings when I go in for a short workout, I always come into contact with a man in the locker room. He's a reprobate. A reprobate. He's a man, I can't describe him except to say he's not somebody you probably would want to be with. He's always over here on this side of the locker room, so I'm always over here. One morning as I'm sitting down and I'm getting everything together in my gym bag, the Lord Jesus, in so many words, said to me, I died for him too. I died for him too. You need to build a bridge to this man. Dear people, are there friends and associates out there that we know that are spiritually blind, who nobody is paying attention to, and you and I have the answer? But we, like the crowd, are blindly going our own way. Third question. Why are we not reaching out to these dear people with our Lord's love and word? You see, of the 7+ billions of people that are living on the face of the earth today, there is a preponderous host of them who are spiritually blind. And in essence, they are sitting along the road of life and they're begging for help. What the world offers will never meet their need. No amount of money, no amount of anything the government can give them will meet their need. They need who?
Jesus.
They need Jesus. Who has Jesus? Us. Oh Lord, help us. Help us. Thankfully, Bartimaeus and his friend met Jesus that day and their lives were changed forever. But what happened to these two forgotten, God-cursed men after Jesus touched their eyes and they were made to see? This is what the last part of verse 52 says. Look there with me. The last part of 52. It says, immediately he, Bartimaeus, received his sight and followed Jesus all along the road. Verse 52 tells us also that he was healed. Now, this word healed from the Greek is very important to us. It has two significant meanings. One, the word healed in this instance can refer to physical healing. The other part of the word refers to spiritual salvation. May I share with you that Bartimaeus and his companion both had physical healing and spiritual salvation. They received them both. Now, what was it as Jesus saw these men and they came to him requesting sight? What was it within Jesus that welled up to minister to them? Let me read what Matthew tells us in chapter 20, verse 34. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Compassion. That's a word that's largely forgotten today. Why? Because it requires us to do something beyond ourselves. It requires us to take the focus off of ourselves and put it onto somebody else. Compassion may call us to sacrifice so that we can give to others. Compassion may also call for us to forgive people that we have something against, because God says, I want you to go and I want you to minister to that person. And we say, Lord, you got to get somebody else. Don't ask me. And the Lord, in so many words, could say to us, Raj, did I not have compassion on you? Yes, Lord, you did. Then can you not have compassion on this one that I'm bringing into your path? Dear people, might not we need the compassion of our Lord Jesus to fill our hearts tonight for those who are spiritually blind and going to hell? May I share with you that I need that compassion tonight? I need a fresh dose of the compassion of Jesus. Well, I bet if you would have talked to Bartimaeus and his friend as they were there on the road in the dirt, begging and everybody passing by, if you would have said, Bartimaeus, did you realize that today something absolutely stupendous is going to happen to your life? Really? Do you know that your life's going to be made brand new? No way. Nobody cares about me. But as you look at what they were and what they now had become by the touch and compassion of Jesus, it certainly rings true what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? He's a new creature, a new creation. The what has gone? The old has gone, the new has come. Bartimaeus could say, wow, now I know by the compassion and touch of Jesus, my life has been turned upside down. And rather than running off and telling everybody, what did he do? He followed Jesus. Now, we don't know anything more about Bartimaeus. All we know is the Lord touched him, he was thankful, and he followed Jesus. Someday we will meet him. The thing that I close with tonight is this. Dear people, may our hearts, may my heart be filled with our Lord's compassion, so that many more spiritually blind people like Bartimaeus may come into contact with the love, compassion, and word of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that in their need they would realize God indeed loves them, and he wants to work in their lives, and he wants to make them brand new. Perhaps as you look at your life tonight, there's somebody in your friendship, somebody in your family that you know is spiritually blind. And even though they're not on the ground begging, inside of their hearts, they're saying, I really would like to have a life that's far better than what I've got. How can I get it? You and I have the answer. The love of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for looking into your word tonight. Lord, we thank you that you never grow weary of meeting people's needs, that you're not aghast at the kind of people that would come to you. Lord, we marvel. And Lord, I'll go on record tonight to say that I need a fresh touch, a fresh dose of your compassion upon my life and heart. I think of Bob Pierce's words as he started World Vision International. He said, let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God. Lord, we need our hearts broken for the things that break yours. By thy grace and by our obedience to your call, may we allow you to break our hearts tonight out of love for you and others. For Jesus' sake and in his name we pray. Amen.